The parsha this week contains the mitzvah of mezuzah. And this summer I had the pleasure of giving chabura and learning tochas mezuzah in the Youngsville Woodmere. So this is like an extension of the kola, just for one night, because there's a topic I didn't get to. It's connected to Hilchos Mezuzah, obviously, but it also is connected to Hilchos Shabbos. What I'd like to do is discuss the halachos of mezuzah as they pertain to the laws of Shabbos. It comes up in three different areas in Hilchos Shabbos. We'll discuss each one on its own, and they will also be combined together by a shaila, which is brought in the Stechemet. The Stechemet, the encyclopedic work on halacha and all things Jewish and Torah related. So he writes the Mareches Mem, in the section of Mem, in Klal Kuf Tes Vav. The Mareches Mem has a lot of discussion on Hilchos Mezuzah, and a lot of Bar Makomos, and a lot of interesting things. One of the interesting discussions about Mezuzah is it usher to be in a room or to live in a house where there is no Mezuzah? Meaning, is putting up a Mezuzah a mitzvah, or is putting up a Mezuzah a matir, a permission to stay in a location? And this is a machlokas we find hinted to in the Rishonim and certainly in the Achronim, whether it's usher to stay in a house that does not have a Mezuzah or not. That's not totally our discussion for right now. What is our discussion is a story that is brought in the Sefer Toldos Adam. The Toldos Adam is the collection of stories and the biography of Rav Zalman, or Shlomo Zalman of Volozhin, the brother of Chaim Volozhin. So they write in the 15th chapter of that book the following story. Shepam Echas Ba Le Malon Be'erev Shabbos. That it happened that he came to an inn on Erev Shabbos. V'rasha Mezuzah Hayelamata Mishlish Elyon. And he saw that the mezuzah was below the upper third. The halacha is by a mezuzah that it needs to be on the upper third of the doorway, similar to the way that the tefillin sit on the upper third of a person's arm as well. They're connected to each other based on Gzeres HaKasav, Gzeres Shav in the Torah. And there's a machlokas here again between the Rush and the Rambam where exactly this third should be. Should it be anywhere within the top third? Or according to the Rambam, should it be only exactly at the bottom of the top third, below the two-thirds? We try to be machmer for the sheet of the Rambam to measure exactly at the bottom third, right before the bottom two-thirds. Okay, so according to everyone, though, the mezuzah that is below the third, that is below the upper third, in the bottom two-thirds, is not placed correctly. It's an invalid placement of the mezuzah, and it needs to be moved if it's too low to the ground. So Rav Zalman walked into the inn, and he saw that the mezuzah was very low on the doorpost, and therefore the mezuzah was not up correctly. The Lahaya shows Fayom Takein, and because Shabbos was coming in the story, there was not enough time, apparently, to fix it. I guess there must have been seconds before Shabbos, they couldn't have taken it off and nailed it, and whatever it is, they couldn't have fixed it. The Lo Nechnas Labayas, and he would not go into this inn. He would not go into the hotel. Ad Shabal Hamalon, until the owner of the hotel was Hifker Habayas, made the hotel Hefker, so it was ownerless, because the Torah says Al Mezuzos Beisecha, it should be your house, and now if it's not Beisecha, it doesn't belong to anyone in particular, therefore there may or may not, as we'll see in a second, be a tour to have the mezuzah on a house that's not owned by one, that it was made Hefker ownerless. And then, only then did he go into the house and observe Shabbos as normally in such a case. So, this discussion of the placement of the mezuzah and moving a mezuzah on Shabbos, and could you put it in the mezuzah, this opens up the discussion to the hilchos, the halachos pertaining to mezuzah on Shabbos. Was this correct? So, the story is not just cited here in the Sechem, and it's cited in a number of summer hilchos mezuzah, the mezuzahs malachim, the mikdash ma'at. This is based on a comment of the Magen Avraham in the end of Simen Yud Gimel by Hilchos Tzitzis. The Magen Avraham there says that you're allowed to be mafkir something on Shabbos. We don't find this in Hilchos Shabbos. The Magen Avraham has a side comment that if you want to make something hefker on Shabbos, there's no problem simply giving it away. He cites the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Aleph, and again Kuf of Zion, where the Gemara implies that you can make something ownerless and hefker on Shabbos. I find that there are three issues with this piece of advice and the story of Rav Zalman. I'm not saying the story is not true, very much it could be true, but I have three kashas on this way to get out of the problem by making the hotel hefker. I don't really think it solves the problem. The first thing is that there are some Rishonim, the Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Chacham Shlomo there, and Shulchan Aruch and Simeon Gimel, who say that you're not allowed to make something hefker on Shabbos. You're not, what? What? So the issue, it's a bit of, so the issue that, the issue here is that it's a form of, it could be a form of mekach u'memchar, of making some, of a form of business on Shabbos. Now one of the answers back to that is that it's only mekach u'memchar if somebody else picks it up. Meaning if you're machir something with the intention that I know that you're going to pick it up, so then that might be problematic. But just make something hefker, that's not business, that's poor business. And therefore, maybe that's okay. But that's one question on the story. The other thing is the whole idea itself, that just because you make it hefker, there's no chiyuv mezuzah. The Minchas Yitzchak and the Chovas Hador, which is Rabloi, Sefer, and Hilchos Mezuzah, and others say that if you're living in a space that's hefker, so you're chayv in mezuzah midirabanan, because it's like a rental. But the Tosos Rid in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Aleph, on that Gemara that we just said, where the Gemara says that a person who makes his house hefker is patra mezuzah, so the Tosfos Rav says, Habayis shemafkiro lo krina bei beisecha, v'afapi shechovas adorhu kol zman shalosh schara mimenu, havalei kachuna bebayis chaveru she'enu chayv mezuzah. So the Tosfos Rid seems to say that you're totally patra. So nevertheless, we have a machlokas here. Could be that Rav Zalman was going like the Tosfos Rid, which certainly is a possibility. And the last thing is whether this would even is something that you need to do. Because we know that when it comes to fulfilling a mitzvah's essay, a positive mitzvah in the Torah, there's a limit to how much a person has to spend to fulfill the positive mitzvah. So essentially what happened here is that the owner of this hotel lost out on thousands, perhaps millions of dollars, just so that Rav Zalman could have a mezuzah on his door. So it's unclear whether a person would need to lose that much money to fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah. So, tzarachim. But let's get to the aspects of Shabbos. The first thing we need to know is a mezuzah muksa on Shabbos? Okay, so you need to put up the mezuzah. We'll get to whether you can put the mezuzah back up that falls on Shabbos. But the first question is the mezuzah itself muksa on Shabbos? Let's say someone wants to show you something in the mezuzah. You're a sofer and you have mezuzahs lying all over the house. Is this something we need to be concerned about, the mezuzah itself? So there are three stages of what may or may not be muksa. First, let's discuss a mezuzah that has not been put up at all on Shabbos. That's the first thing. You have a fresh mezuzah. It was never dedicated to anything. It was never used for anything. A fresh, clean parchment of mezuzah. So what do we say about such an idea? So first, a little background to muksa. There's a machlokes in the Rambam and the Raavan in Hilchos Shabbos why something is muksa. The Rambam says the reason for muksa is that people who don't have jobs all week and sit around and leisurely sip their tea and don't do anything, so they could go the whole week without doing any malacha. It's possible. Simply by just walking around and taking strolls and eating, and it's very possible a person can never do any malacha during the week. So what makes their Shabbos special, says the Rambam? Chazal came along and made a takana that there are certain, we don't move certain things on Shabbos because we want to make sure that even the people who don't do anything during the week, when it comes to malacha, at least on Shabbos, they have something that they know that it's Shabbos. Comes the Raavan and says, did the Rambam forget? The Gemara is all over the place. The Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Beis Elam and Zion tell us that the reason we don't move things on Shabbos that we have no use for is because we don't want to move something and carry it outside. It's a gzeira that a person might come and carry it outside. And this is the sheet of the Raavan and everybody else. And this idea of the muksa, so this is based on a Torah commandment as well, of what do we decide, what is muksa, what's not. Kol tikkun d'rabbanan, kein d'oraisa tikkun, whatever the rabbis make a takana, make a law, it's based on something that already exists in a Torah framework, and that is the laws of tumah and tahara, the laws of purity and impurity. And we know that something can only become tumah if it is adam, kelim, ochel, umashka, those four things. A human being, a kli, something that you're going to use, have use for, food and drink. So the same thing comes to muksa on Shabbos. Those things are not muksa. Adam kelim ochel mashka. And anything else that's not one of those four things is going to be muksa on Shabbos. So eitzim v'avanim, things you have no use for. That's the general principle. And then within those categories, there are five or six different categories of how do you define what is muksa or not. Okay. A new mezuzah. The Mincha Shabbos and the Toldos Shmuel, so they say that since it would be mutter to learn from this mezuzah on Shabbos, you could open it up and read this week's parsha, and that would be fine. So therefore, a mezuzah is not a muksa, and it wouldn't damage the mezuzah, and it wouldn't be a problem. This is similar to the heter of the Acharonim when it comes to a get on Shabbos. A get may or may not be muksa. This is a machlokes rishonim. The Gemara in Gittin Mem Zayin here says, "How shchiv meira, there was a person who was on his deathbed. Dechasav legita lebisayu, when he wrote a get for his wife. Bahadei panay damali Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. Flo hispik lemesave le lemachar, and he was able to give it to her. The next day, takaf le alma asu lekame deraba, and he wanted to give the get to his wife. But now it was written before Shabbos, and he wanted to give the get to his wife on Shabbos because he didn't want to die and put his wife in a situation where she would have to yibum or chalitza and put her in a whole different area of halacha that would be confusing and complicated. So better, he said, if I'm going to die anyway, simply divorce her and all these other issues will be put to the side. So the shchiv meira, this man who was dying, wanted now to give her the get on Shabbos, and the question was, could he do that? Would it be a problem? And the Gemara seems to imply that it might be a problem to move it along. Comes Rashi and comes Tosos, and they say, why might be a problem to move the get and to hand the get to his wife? Because the get is muksa. And therefore they came with a plan how to get to his wife without actually touching it. And this would be the simple understanding of the Gemara. The question is, though, why is the get muksa? What makes a get muksa? So comes along the Rush, citing the Smag. The Smag writes in Hilchos Gerushin as follows. In the next source, he says, Va'od lamadnu she'asu l'taltal ha-get b'Shabbos. It's usher to move a get on Shabbos. Kedipire sham Rabbeinu Shlomo v'nira. Tadafka get shemuksa l'ri'iya. That's only a get that is muksa for looking at it. Aval shark savim mutarim l'taltal shurim l'tzur. Al pit tzluchasav. Regular things, types of writing, documents are not muksa. What is it about a get? Mitam zafilu klaf chalak. Even a clean piece of klaf. It's not the paper that's the issue. It's the thing about the get. What is it about the get? Nami dafka be a mayhem. That was only in their day, says the Smag. We know devarim shabal peh yashalamim b'ksav. Torah shabal peh, oral law, should not be written down. It should not be learnt from a written material. And vice versa. We know, right, we shouldn't say psukim by heart, all these different halachos. So comes the Smag and says, the wording of a get, the framework of a get, is Torah shabal peh. It's an oral tradition of how a man divorces his wife. And therefore, says the Smag, in their days, that was a problem to handle it on Shabbos because you weren't going to learn from it. The get has no purpose on Shabbos except for to divorce one's wife. And therefore, it would be muksa. You can't come and say, oh, I'm going to learn from the get. I'm learning Hilchos Gittin this year, Hilchos Gerushin, and over Shabbos I want to learn and go through the words of the get. The end, the last parak in Gittin goes through and discusses all different words and phraseology of how a get is written and how the letters should be, all these different halachos. I want to review it over Shabbos. Says the Smag, back then in days of the Gemara, that was not an option, because that would be learning Torah Shabbal Peh from Ksav. But then, says the Smag, nowadays, where we have the heter to learn Torah Shabbal Peh from written words, therefore it doesn't apply anymore, and therefore a get nowadays would not be muksa on Shabbos, because one has the heter to learn Torah Shabbal Peh from a written source.
The mezuzah, you're saying, might not be muksa. Why is
form? So the discussion of tefillin is its own thing. Oh, okay. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa has a long discussion about why tefillin are muksa based on this discussion. 100%. Tefillin maybe another shir. So today, just for mezuzah, based on this extension of get to mezuzah, so comes along the Shmir Shabbos in Parakhaf and the Agra B'Halacha, which is a modern classic work on the laws of mezuzah written by Rabban Feldman's son from Eretz Yisrael. So he as well says that it's not Shunapi Muksa, and Rav Vosner, all saying that there's no problem handling a fresh, clean mezuzah. Yeah.
What's the idea of your intention before Shabbos? Mm-hmm. What was it used for? The get was set aside to be given to the wife, and yeah, it wasn't done before Shabbos, so you know, over the mezuzah itself was written to be, I don't know, was it from to sell it or to put it on the door.
So when we're talking about a new mezuzah, since it's a new mezuzah that was not used for anything, it has a kind of like an open door policy that you can.
If I'm a sofer and I write a mezuzah, I'm writing it to sell it. So it wouldn't be bachmat chasun kis that it'll be also to.
Good. So the machmirim come along. The Osnidru of Zilber writes in Chelet Ches in Simon Lamed Ches, based on a comment of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish holds that there's a not the Chazon Ish holds this, but there is a type of muksa called muksa machmas chisaron kis. That there's a muksa that is to not use something that's valuable on Shabbos. Now the Chazon Ish holds that muksa machmas chisaron kis, it's muksa because it is valuable, you don't want it to be moved, applies to something that is a kli that could be used for isurim or a kli that could be used for hetzer. Doesn't matter what type of thing it is. It could be a microscope that it's very expensive, you don't want anyone to touch it. Or it could be a shechita knife, which is obviously a kli shemalachta l'iser because it's used for killing animals and it can't be done on Shabbos. The Chazon Ish has a chumrah that kli shemalachta, that muksa machmas chisaron kis, the value of the item can make it muksa, so that applies across the board. And therefore the Chazon Ish, says Rav Zilber, would say that muksa certainly applies to a mezuzah on Shabbos because it is expensive and it is valuable, and do not want people simply handling it just because. And then he comes and says the whole idea that you're going to learn from it. He says nowadays nobody, if you wanted to learn about a mezuzah, you don't have to handle a mezuzah. We have photocopies and we have pictures, and therefore this idea that you're going to learn from mezuzah is not so strong, and therefore he finds room to be machmir because of this idea of muksa machmas chisankis. The only issue with this idea of the Chazon Ish is that the Bir Halach and others say that muksa machmas chisankis, the muksa, because of its value, is only applicable to a kli shemalachto le'isser, a kli that can be used for something that's asr, like a shechita knife. A shechita knife, usually say by a kli shemalachto le'isser, I'm allowed to move it in cases where I can use it in a fashion that is heter, or I can move it out of the way because I need that sort of goof or makomo, I need the place or I need the item. But by for example, like a shechita knife. I could use the shechita knife to shech an animal, but I also could slice tomatoes very beautifully with the same knife as well. But by a kli shemalachto leheter, so there's no concept of muksa machmas chisaron kis as the Bir Halacha, because why should that, if I can use it in a heter fashion, so then there's no reason why I would have a problem if I want to use it and I can use it in a permissible way that I'm not going to care about how expensive it is. So that is the new mezuzah. What about a mezuzah that falls off the door on Erev Shabbos? So the Toldos Shmuel is lenient again regarding a mezuzah that falls off the door on Erev Shabbos, since it can be learned from. And this is the opinion of the Be'er Moshe, as well the Deber Tzina Rav in Chelek Ches. Comes the Mincha Shabbos, the Mishmir Shabbos Chilchasa, and they say that they're machmer, because this is similar to a door that is detached from a building. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuchav Beis and the Rambam writes in Shabbos Perichav Hei that a door that fell off the hinges is muktza. And it's a problem to use, a problem to move it on Shabbos. The Rambam says that the door of a house, it's like a kli, and even though it's not like a kli because it doesn't have any use, and therefore the mezuzah that falls off the door right before Shabbos, and I can't put it back on, and now Shabbos has come, so I have no use for the mezuzah. It's considered like a broken piece of the house that is not serving a purpose. I can't put it on, according to some opinions. Let's just go with that for a second. I can't put it on, and therefore, since it has no use, it's going to be muksa. Now, as we'll see in a second, if there's going to be bizayon to the mezuzah, if it's going to be, kicked around and stepped on, or it's going to be not covered for the mezuzah, so you can move it in a kilach yad way, in an unusual fashion, to put the mezuzah in a safe place till after Shabbos. A mezuzah that falls off the door on Shabbos and you see it fall on the floor, and you know it fell off on Shabbos, so the Shmir Shabbos writes in Parakaf that a mezuzah that falls down on Shabbos is muksa because it's like a door that comes off, and if it's the state of bizayin, you can be mekel. Rabbi Ribiat and his book on Hilchos Shabbos and the Agrabah Halacha as well in Parak Mem Hei, they say that there could be a heter as well, because they don't feel that the mezuzah is anything muksa about it, since it could be used and it could be read from, and that heter as before. And the Bar Moshe and Rav Yashuv say that a mezuzah is not muksa as well. He says that first the mezuzah is kisvei hakodesh, and we don't find in general that kisvei hakodesh, that that holy writings are going to be muksa. And if that was the case, then all kisvei hakodesh would be muksa on Shabbos. And in addition, when the mezuzah is attached to the house, it has the status of a kli, and therefore it falls off. It's no different than any other kli. Meaning, it's a kli that you use on Shabbos. The mezuzah is part of the house. It's something that's used in the normal usage of the house. Okay. Okay, you could learn from it.
Nobody's learning. What?
In the
middle of Cheshvan, where's the situation? Yeah. Yom Kippur Masa.
I don't know.
He's moving it to. I'm not saying Tishrei time.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. That's a person. You can find a number of ways for why you want it. Let's say a person is thinking about a piyut or whatever. You could. There's a number of ways to find that you could learn from it. I'll tell you a story to show that one might pick up a Yom Kippur Matzah. Reb Chaim Stein, as Rosh Shuvan tells. So a young boy once came to Reb Chaim Stein, and he told Reb Chaim Stein that I have a lot of difficult concentrating at the end of davening because people are rushing around and leaving shul, and we get to Aleinu, everyone's wrapping up, and I feel like I should be paying attention at the end of davening, but it's very hard for me to concentrate during Aleinu. And he wanted to work on himself, a very mature young man. And Reb Chaim Stein looked at the young boy and he said, you know what? I also sometimes have that issue where I have places to go and things to do and places to get to. And I'm rushing at the end of davening and I want to concentrate on Aleinu. So you know what I do? And he went to his shtender and he pulled out a Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah Machzor. And he told the boy, when I want to say Aleinu with a little bit more oomph and a little bit more kavana, I say Aleinu from the middle of Musaf for my Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Machzor. Because then I have the sense that I'm standing Omid Lefnei HaMelech, that it's the Yom HaDin, and just for those few minutes, for that time, it focuses me. So we have a raya from the Tal Rosh Yeshiva that one could pull out. I'm sure Rabbi Soloveitchik looked at... why not? Why not? I have no. I would imagine that people have learned Kinos on Shabbos. Okay, next. Let's get to putting up the fallen mezuzah, which is really the case we want to get to because it's the most applicable. You walk into a house, you walk into a situation, and you see the mezuzah on the floor, and it's Shabbos. Can you put it back up? Can Rizamala, in the story of the Tolos Adam, can he simply move the mezuzah and put it in the proper spot on Shabbos? So
is that the same case? Is it really similar?
Is it to falling down?
Yeah, if it fell down, the person put it back. Him just mamish taking it off.
First let's discuss how we would put it there. If we're dealing with nails, and we're going to take off nails and put nails in, so certainly it's going to be a problem of certainly bona, of binyan bekalim. That's making holes in the wall, certainly nailing and things like that. If we're dealing with tape, you're going to have a problem as well with permanent tape, with the tofer and sewing and things like that. That would also be problematic. So we can't be talking about a case where you're going to need to physically do something and attach with nails or tape or something like that. If you could find out a place, if you could figure out something like Velcro or magnets, maybe there's what to discuss. But it cannot be the case of simply actually moving the cover of the mezuzah and repositioning that, or if the cover falls off with the mezuzah inside, repositioning it on the wall, because that's going to involve other malachos. What about a case where the mezuzah falls out of the holder? Let's say it's the mezuzah is in the holder and it falls out of the bottom, for whatever it is, or the mezuzah cover comes off and the back of the cover is still on the wall, and you can reposition it in a way that the cloth is inside without actually using any tape or any nails like that. So what would be the issue with that? So the Shmir Shabbos writes, and Rechaim Kanievsky, again in the Parsha Sadura, his Peirush Maseches Mezuzah, and the Be'er Halacha, and the Chod Shani of Rav Nissen Kreltz, and Shabbos Chelek Beis, and the Shabbos Home, Rav Simcha Ben Amkon I saw as well, Rav Nissen Kaplan and the Shami Nissen, his Sefer, the Ola Rai, which is a popular Sefer on Hilchos Bona and Ohel on Shabbos, they are Machner. And they say it's being mosif al habinyan. The mezuzah in its case is considered part of the structure, and it's tikkun kli. You're making something that was not usable now usable on Shabbos, and therefore they say that would be aser. However, the Tzitz Eliezer and the Binyan Shabbos and the Ravad Yosef and the Chazon Ravad and Hechel Shabbos and Chela Gimel in the beginning and the Agur Bahalacha, they say that there's no isra of putting mezuzah back in the container on the wall. There's no tikkun kli. It's not aser. You're not being metakin anything. They find that it's not aser to live in a house without a mezuzah. You're not fixing anything that was broken. You're simply putting the mezuzah back. You're not making something that was unusable. You're not making the house that was unusable now usable. You're simply fulfilling the mitzvah of putting the mezuzah up on the wall. And you're not fixing anything. So we have here a machlokas aposkim, whether you could put the mezuzah back in place. Certainly there is what to rely on. What about having a guy do it? Could you have a guy come and then put it up? So the guy is doing it. You have maybe a shvus, for the case of a mitzvah, two durabanans, perhaps if you could have a guy tell another guy, there's a way to figure it out, for the sake of a mitzvah. So you have a guy do it. So that's not so clear either, because... So is a guy allowed to put up a mezuzah? Many poskim seem to say that a guy cannot put up a mezuzah, because either he's puzzled for putting up a mezuzah because we find by tefillin, shartem, only the person who can write the mezuzah is the person who puts on tefillin, and maybe there's a connection to mezuzah as well, because tefillin and mezuzah are connected to one another. And maybe there's a minion of lishma when it comes to mezuzah as well, that has to be put up lishma, just like a sukkah has to be put up. But there's a tshuva of the Maharshag. The Maharshag says, there, first of all, we find nowhere in Chazal or Rishonim, there's a minion of lishma by putting up a mezuzah. We find no connection between tefillin and mezuzah and shartim and tying and the person who does it as well. And the Marashag also notes that even by sukkah, where schach, by sukkah needs to be lishma, what's the halacha? Sukkahs ganvach are kosher. The sukkah put up by a guy is kosher. The schach put up by a guy is kosher. So says the Marashag.
Why needs to move it?
What?
Why is the sukkah? Why? I thought we move it.
We do move it to be machmer. But Mikra Adin, sukkahs ganvach, is kosher. So here, if I'm going to have the guy do it, so then it might not be a problem. The Agur Balacha also thinks that a guy could do it, but we try to be machmer that we put up our own mezuzahs and not have a guy do it as well. So for all these reasons, we have here a major machlokas aposkim, and in such a case, I would say that probably one should avoid putting up the mezuzah in such a case. But even in that case, it would be a very rare occurrence where that would happen. I would simply just put it to the side. The mainstream opinion is that it's not usher to go into the room that doesn't have a mezuzah, and that would be fine. I would simply wait till after Shabbos to put the mezuzah back up. Let's just look here in the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says, "Umisha noda lo she'ein mezuzah bepischa." If a person knows there's no mezuzah on the house, also la shos afilu rega. It's also to stay in the house even for a moment. There's a great misconception when it comes to Hilchos mezuzah. People think that when they move into a house that they own, they have 30 days to put up their mezuzah. It's not true. When you move into a house that you own, the mezuzah needs to be up that day. Only by a rental do you have 30 days in Chutz La'aretz. So also l'shaso afilu rega, says the Aruch HaShulchan. V'yelech l'sofer liknos mezuzah v'kovim ayat. You have to go and get mezuzahs immediately when you move into your house. V'imhu Shabbos v'yamtov, she'yavsha l'kova, says the Aruch HaShulchan. I pass that it's usher to establish, to put the mezuzah up. Im yesh lo cheder acher, lo yeshu b'cheder zeh, don't use that room. V'im ein lo mutar. Meaning, on Shabbos, we're not going to tell you that in a bedroom where the mezuzah fell off the entrance to the bedroom, that you can't go into your bedroom and you have to sleep on the couch because of that. Maybe you have cheder acher, but if you have a room where you're going to be more comfortable and it's more comfortable to sleep in that room, so then use the room. If you don't have to go into the room, says the Aruch HaShulchan, so find another room. So again, we see here, when it comes to Shabbos, we try to be machmir. It's not necessarily iser. It's a nice thing to have a mezuzah up. If a person is capable of having another place to go, another room to go, if the mezuzah falls off the door on Shabbos, then that would be fine. But if not, nothing is going to happen if you walk into the room. And certainly, probably machmir in such a case, but mikra din, it would be fine. I just want to end with one last side halacha connected to Shabbos, which is not connected to anything we said, but it's the only other third place that I know of where mezuzah is connected to Shabbos. And that is, the Magen Avraham tells us that when it comes to a fire, so we know that it's usher to put out a fire on Shabbos. Now, halacha l'maisa nowadays, if there's a fire in one's home, so then if you cannot put it out yourself, We call the fire departments. It is the people sometimes are wary. They know that the Gemara and the Mishnah says you should put like barrels of water around it and the fire will spread and put out the barrels of water. We're not equipped to do that, and it's dangerous, and the fire can spread, and it's also dangerous for firefighters to have to go into a house where the fire has been spread because you were waiting for something else to happen. So a fire is on Shabbos, and it's out of your control. You call the fire department immediately. Certainly, halacha lemaisa. Now, we have, just for the sake of lamdus and learning, I have a heter here. You can always call the fire department for any reason, even for a fire, even if you think that you're going to be very frum and say that, you know, I'm not going to put out the fire on Shabbos. So the Magen Aram tells us that for Kisei HaKodesh, for holy writings, so you're allowed to have a guy put out the fire for you on Shabbos to protect Kisei HaKodesh. This is the sheet of the Tiferes Hatzon, the Kalkalos HaShabbos, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Mishabura, as well. And it's clear from the poskim that a mezuzah is also Kisvei HaKodesh. So look what the Aruch HaShabbos writes, Rabbi Rubin. He writes in Perach Chaf Gimel, Im Hadaleika Alula L'Srof Es HaMezuzahs HaKavuos B'dira. If the fire is going to burn the mezuzahs that are in the dwelling, Mutr Lomar L'Nachri L'Chabos HaSa'esh, it's mutr to tell a guy to put out the fire, Amenash HaMezuzahs Lo Yisrafu, so that the mezuzahs are not burnt. And this he brings the Maskaras HaShulchan, brought in the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa. And then he says, "V'had adif lomar lanach lechabos is aish v'lomar lo lakoros mezuzas min haPesach." It's better to call the fire department and to put out the fire than to take off the mezuzas and run out of the house, or to have the fire department come and take off your mezuzas and run out of the house. Why? Mishum she'akiras haMezuzah mehaPesach yesh v'chashash melecha soser min haTorah. Taking the mezuzah off the door could be soser, destroying something as a Torah commandment. And it's not type of mekalkel, because it's tikkun of the malacha, because you want to protect the mezuzah to save it from the fire, and it's being done in a constructive way, says the Aruch HaShabbos. But putting out the fire is a malacha shen tzrich lagufa, right? Extinguishing a fire is simply the avoidance of not doing the proper malach as done in the Mishkan. Where was kibui done in the Mishkan? They would blow out the fire on the coals so that you would have wicks in order to light the menorah in a proper fashion. Right? Kibui was only done for a constructive purpose. What?
I guess using telephone today because
for sure. For sure. So, therefore, he says it would be better that you should have the fire department come and put out the fire than have your mezuzahs destroyed. So even if someone wants to be very, very, very frum and misguided and say, I'm not going to call the fire department on Shabbos because, you know, it's not Sekaros Nefashos, even in that case, you should still call in order to protect your mezuzahs, and then it would be mutzer.